Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn this morning to our text from Matthew chapter 10, Matthew 10, and we'll be reading together verses 40 to 41. Matthew 10, 40 to 41. And let's hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." May God bless his word. Please be seated. Jesus has a high regard for those who bring the message of the good news. And he has an equally high regard for those who help those who bring the good news. Jesus has a high regard for those who bring the message of the good news, and an equally high regard for those who would help them bring that message. This is the conclusion of the instructions that Jesus is giving to his disciples before he sends them out into the buzzsaw of the world to proclaim the kingdom of Christ. As we've read his instructions, we've seen that they've been sobering. There's nothing easy about the calling that Jesus has given them. There will be no five-star accommodations. The band will not be playing as they arrive in town. They won't be meeting with the town leaders who would give them the keys to the city. No, Jesus has told them they're going out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And they're going to face resistance and betrayals and persecutions and hatred and death. And they will be slandered, and their message is going to divide marriages and families. But Jesus finishes these instructions with the words we just read, with a laying down of the need for help in this task as they go, and also for the blessings that will come to both the one who is going and the one who is helping them go. Both, according to Christ, are worthy of the full reward of the kingdom. This text is here to encourage both the ones who will be proclaiming Christ in a hostile world and those who would help them do so. You might think of it this way. As we think of a bow and an archer, one is the bow that is shot or drawn, and the other is the arm that bends the bow that it might hurl the arrow of the gospel. Both are equally important, both the bow and the arm that would pull it. So there is no distinction here in the kingdom between those who would bring the good news and those who would help in the bringing of the news in regards to the rewards that come. The church has no priestly class. That's kind of up here, and then sort of a subclass of men and women and young people and others down here. There are no elites or celebrities in the church, nor is there, as some have termed in our day, Big Ava. You've heard the term big pharma, big tobacco, big tech, right? You've heard those probably. Terms that are used to speak of this sort of a controlling influence of certain corporations and industries in our day. There are those who begin to speak of a certain high profile evangelicals as big Eva or big evangelicalism. Because there are those who in the evangelical world have begun to speak and to act as though they have a special authority or power or privilege or position in the church. And so the term big Eva has begun to be used as sort of a rebuke to call some of these back to a humility that God has no super apostles. He has no elites in the church. The church rather has one kind of people who are standing side by side in the work of the gospel. Some of us do one thing and some of us do another in the kingdom, but we are all equal, as Christ reveals here, equal in our importance and equal in our reward. You know, in a similar way, there are no little churches. There are no little churches in the kingdom. You could say in the same way, God has no mega churches in the kingdom, in the sense that a mega church is somehow more blessed or more value or more power in the kingdom. There are even some in our day who would say that it's the church in the big city that is really, really where God is working. But beloved, God isn't focused on one place or another as though he needs this place or that place to do his work. He is able to establish his kingdom and reach the nations from New York City or Babbitt. And there are no little churches in the kingdom because the power of the church is in its message. In its message that it preaches. Not in the number of seats that are filled or the size of the budget. The church's power is in the gospel. Now, this isn't to despise a large church. God has churches of all sizes. God is free to gather any number of his saints in one place or another. But this is to say that the power or the influence of the church is not measured by human standards or human measurements, just as young David was not measured by his small stature or a mustard seed of faith is to be measured by the size of the seed, for it can move mountains. God can wield infinite power from small places as well as large. It matters not to him. He can move the world from a small town like Bethlehem as well as from Rome. He can move the world from Ely just as easily as Washington, D.C. God is never limited by the size of the church or of the abilities of the individual saint. For God is a God who honors great faith more than great talent. He's able to use both, and he does gloriously. But our God is often pleased to move mightily through faithful men and women, not the wise and the noble and the powerful according to the world's standards. And so we hear the words of Jesus here this morning, knowing that whatever place in the kingdom he calls you or I to, or what place on the globe he places us in, or what size church we find ourselves at, there we are able to receive a prophet's reward and a righteous man's reward. You see, the reward of those who bring the good news, according to Christ, is the same reward that comes to the one who would help them bring the good news. That is good news. That's good news, beloved. That is news Christ does not want us to miss this morning. You should never think of the role of a pastor or a church leader or a missionary as more important than your role in the kingdom. You can think of it this way. What is more important, for the car to be able to travel down the road? Having an engine or wheels? Having a steering wheel or having a transmission? Oil or gas? They're equally needed. God has ordained a means by which the gospel is going to go to the world. If you've been with us on Wednesday evenings in Romans, in Romans 10 recently, we saw that that means that God has ordained for the gospel to go to the world is the preaching of the word of God. That someone goes and preaches the word. And there in Romans 10, Paul speaks of that individual as having beautiful feet who would bring the good news. But these individuals that Paul is speaking of do not go out because they are self-reliant, because they're great multitaskers, or they're omnicompetent or polymaths and can do it all. It's not because they're spiritual superheroes that they go out. It's because God has called others to be the ones who make a way for them to go through finances or physical means or certainly through the might and the power of your prayers for the proclamation of the gospel. You might think of this text this morning here in Matthew as a complement, sort of, to Romans 10 and verse 15 that we just spoke of, that speaks of the beautiful feet of those who would bring good news. What Jesus is saying here in Matthew is that God is going to give the same blessing to those who would help bring the good news. Christ makes it clear that the one who receives the preacher of the good news receives Christ, and the one who receives Christ receives the Father. He who receives you, verse 40, receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. See, there's no sense of measures here in what is received. There's no sense of fractions or portions of Christ or the Father that is given. The words of Christ here are plain in that we receive him when we receive the good news of the preacher of the gospel. And in it we receive the Father. The one who preaches the word is actually bringing Christ to those who hear. Actually bringing Christ to those who hear. And in bringing Christ, actually bringing the Father. What a wonder that is. God brings both his Son and himself to those who would hear and who would believe the message of the gospel. God comes via the message preached, not through incantations or harsh treatments of the body or great sacrifices or great offerings on our part. He comes through the word announced, proclaimed. This is the glory of the task together, really, of the body of Christ. Together we bring Christ to men as one preaches and another helps in that great task of proclaiming Christ. He who receives you receives me, Jesus says. He who receives me receives him who sent me. And he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. God is going to give equally to those who on the one hand proclaim the word and then to those who receive what is proclaimed and help in that task. Again, Jesus doesn't say you'll receive a portion of the prophet's reward or a portion of the righteous man's reward. He doesn't say he will get most of the reward and you'll get a small share, a bit of that. At least it's something. No. The wonderful truth is that God is going to bless both the one who proclaims the gospel and the one who helps in that great task. The same reward. The same blessing. Beloved, God has no favorite sons and daughters. Do you believe that? Really? Do you believe that God cares for you as much as he cares for the well-known pastor who writes books or the church leader or the missionary or maybe just the other believer who's sitting behind you or in front of you this morning? God displays in this text that his blessings in Christ are a family affair, and that he gives to all his children an equal share of Christ. An equal share of Christ. To the one who receives a prophet and a righteous man means that you receive both the message and you support the man in the work of proclaiming the gospel. And God gives the same riches, the same inheritance, the same measure of Christ. It's a hard truth at times for us to lay hold of. I don't know about you, but I'm often comparing myself to those who seem better than I am, smarter than I am, more faithful than I am. And I tell myself, God loves them more. They're of greater value to him. He gives them more of the kingdom than he has given to me. I'm peeling potatoes in the kingdom while they're just sitting at the banquet table. But Christ in this text assures us, as we go to verse 42, that the smallest of our efforts on our part to help are worthy of all of the kingdom. Whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Christ makes it wonderfully plain that the one who helps his disciples, even with a cup of water, will not lose the reward. The term little ones here in verse 42 is a term we find in the New Testament, in the Gospels. A term that refers to specifically the disciples of Jesus. Little ones. It is speaking of those who would follow him, and it's a reference to them being lowly and small and like little children. This text is not one where Christ is speaking of just helping weak people in general, little ones. It's not a text about feeding the poor or helping those in need in society. This is a text about supporting his disciples who are the little ones in this world in need of help. Jesus will speak to his own disciples in John 13:33 at the Last Supper, and he will call them little children. Little children. Beloved, you need to think of your pastor and your church leaders as little ones who need help. They're not titans. They're not legendary figures. They're not bulletproof. Jesus uses this term of his disciples here who are being sent out into the world to preach the word. Later on in chapter 18, Matthew, Jesus will be there as well, will use the term to describe those who would be his disciples in general. It's a text that we'll look at, Lord willing, in the future as we get to chapter 18, but sometimes that text is thought of as speaking of literal children specifically and how we should be careful not to make them stumble. But it's a text, again, where Christ is really addressing disciples in general. The point is to call us to be like children in our following of Jesus and to receive all who would come like children to Jesus. Little ones, the little ones, are all who would humbly come to Christ, young and old, all who would follow him. And so Jesus says, if you give to this little one help, this disciple help, you'll not lose that reward. Even a bottle of water to help them on their way. God shares his wealth with all his children equally. This is a wonderful truth. For both the one who preaches and the one who hears and the one who helps. The one who proclaims Christ is truly bringing Christ, and the one who receives the preacher and helps receives that Christ and receives that same blessing and reward. The great task of the church in the world is worship. That's why we're here. That's why we gather. And it is to proclaim and to herald the King in the world as we worship. The truth is, some go and herald and others help them on their way. But we will all be at the great banquet table of the coming wedding supper of the Lamb. All of us are equally known and loved by God, and all receive Christ. He is the great and full reward of every disciple, of every little one. The cross of Christ brings that payment for sin, and in it brings the very same righteousness of Christ to everyone who believes. Both those who might have great faith, and those who might have weak faith, both those with great talent and those with small talent, both with great strength and those with little strength. Beloved, wherever and to whatever the Lord calls you in his church, he calls you to an equal and a very great reward. You are essential in your place in the kingdom, even if it's giving a cup of water or if it's proclaiming the kingdom to the lost in another land. Whatever God calls you to, beloved, you could say, put your back into it for the glory of God, for your reward is great. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for your church. We thank you, Lord, that you love each one the same. We thank you, Father, for what you've called us to. We thank you for the privilege, Lord, of serving you in any way. What a high privilege it is, Lord, to give water to a little one who needs it, to help them along their way in the work of the gospel. What a privilege it is to be anywhere, Lord, in your kingdom. And what an unbelievable grace it is to receive everything because we are in Christ and in the kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me invite you to stand as we close, as Aaron leads us, as we sing together, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's number 96.